Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. And if you are watching this on Twitter, the End Zone Podcast live show. If you're listening to this via audio format on podcast listening service, I would suggest go check it out on our Twitter as well, at End Zone Pod. I talk into the camera really well, try not to use as many hand gestures, although I know that's already failing early. I notice I pound the table a lot in these, so sometimes it picks up on the mic, so I'm not going to pound the table as much. But yeah, we are in the first quarter of Vikings-Saints, a game that I'm interested in, but I want to start kind of doing these Sunday night shows during the Sunday night football hour and keep them kind of short, just kind of one-man practice shows, just because of the fact that I want to keep it brief for people to listen to on like their commutes into work and things like that. So I'm trying to shorten the podcast a little bit. We're going to have a longer podcast on Wednesday, and we will probably have a podcast on Tuesday, depending on how many trades go down, doing kind of a trade recap show. Maybe that'll just be an exclusive Twitter live show. Pierce has left the live chat, so we are speaking to no one except you, our lovely listeners. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. So now, without further ado, let's get to the games. All right, let's talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cleveland Browns. And boy, I guess I'll start off with, don't worry, Steelers fans. Your team is fine. No need to panic. No need for Le'Veon Bell. You're back on the pace that you were at the beginning of the year to lose in the AFC Championship game. Congratulations. You are the same old Steelers. You gave us a brief moment of will they fall apart, and now you have got it all together. James Conner went off today. 2 touchdowns against a Browns defense that, like, I watched this game, Pierce, on Game Pass just barely. Like, the Browns defense was hapless today. They didn't have an answer for this Pittsburgh offense. Antonio Brown went off on this team with 74 yards and 2 touchdowns. Not a huge yardage day, but he was deadly in the red zone and on a play where Big Ben basically faked out the entire Cleveland Browns defense with a pump fake. So that's interesting. James Conner dominated, though. 146 yards, 2 touchdowns on the ground, 66 yards through the air. Man, I am so deeply unimpressed by this Browns team the last couple of weeks. They had a few weeks where I really bought in, and the last few weeks they haven't been good. Don't get me wrong, I want to do two things that contradict each other. One, I want to say Mayfield was a magician in this game, getting away from all kinds of pressure. He made some terrific plays. While at the same time, I want to hold Baker Mayfield accountable because he has not been good the last few weeks. His yardage totals haven't really been above 180, you know? I just feel like they are trapped by his rookiness at the moment. Like, he is showing some good things, and I think he is the future. I know he is the future. But he is not there yet at all. Like, nowhere close to there yet. But that's okay, because I would argue none of the rookie quarterbacks are there yet. They're rookies, obviously. So, pardon me as I die. I would say the Browns have a little bit to worry about there, but you can't blame it all on them. I said in my recap here, the Browns season is lost. They need wideouts and a new coach. Yeah, they do not have any wideouts. Antonio Callaway has, for all intents and purposes, been their best wide receiver, and that's a little bit disappointing because he's been, I would say, more or less a disappointment. David Njoku has completely disappeared from his offense as well. I wish they would target him a little bit more. Hugh Jackson, clearly, his offense was not the answer. You need to give the reins back to Todd Haley. That was when the offense was ticking the second half of that game against the Bucks last week. There's a lot of questions with this Browns team, but still, I feel like this Browns season has been optimistic for Browns fans. This is so much better than last year, just because the bar is so incredibly low for this team right now. But the season, for all intents and purposes, they have a tough schedule the rest of the way. I was just looking at their schedule online. Their last few games here are brutal in the second half. Chiefs, Falcons, Bengals, Texans, Panthers, Broncos, Bengals, Ravens. The Broncos are the only team in there that I definitely think the Browns are a lock to win against. The rest are kind of toss-ups, and I don't know. And here is Matthew Pierce, who is suddenly so anti-Browns, which I can't believe. We're going to have to get him on the show soon, just because this guy, I don't know where all his hope has gone, but it's suddenly gone as he comments on our live show. See, if you're not watching the live show, this is what you're missing out on. You could be checking out Pierce and his crazy comments, this crazy Browns fan breaking up with his team live as we're on the air. Check it out. Sunday Twitter show, Sunday nights. Go check them out. They're great. We're going to try to do a lot more of these, especially down the second half of the season. All right, we spent about 4 minutes too long on the Cleveland Browns. Next game. My Broncos and the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are desperately in need of a corner. I think they are a corner away from being a Super Bowl team. But when Case Keenum and the Broncos can effectively move the ball against you for most of the game, that's a problem. The other thing I took away from this game is Case Keenum's a bad quarterback. Zero pocket awareness. Has thrown awful turnovers this year. Fumbled the ball today. The pass rush for Denver has completely disappeared. And, like, I hate that these games are so close, because they're not. Don't get confused by these score lines. The Broncos got blown out today. It was a 7-point loss, but they got blown out. They got outplayed in every single facet of this game. They played a good first quarter, and then they laid an egg. And they let Sammy Watkins run all over them. Sammy Watkins had a great game. He is such a weapon for this offense, and Kareem Hunt is back to being a major part of this offense. It might not show in his rushing stats, but right now he is another weapon on this offense, and he's finally kicking it into gear. This Chiefs offense is unbelievably good. I don't think there is a single team in the NFL right now that is going to be able to stop this team down the stretch. In the AFC, until maybe they run up against the Patriots again in the playoffs. I don't think the Rams can stop this team. I don't think the Rams defense can stop this team. They are going to continue to keep dropping 30 points every single week. We marvel at their offense all the time. Patrick Mahomes had a bad game today. A Patrick Mahomes bad game is 347 yards and 4 touchdowns. Think about that. That's insane. People were saying Patrick Mahomes had a bad game today and he had an elite quarterbacking day. But because of what he's done the rest of the season, the stats look meager today. It is somewhat unbelievable what this Chiefs team is doing, and their undoing will be the secondary. The secondary is non-existent. The run defense is non-existent. They got to make a trade before Tuesday. I think the worst decision this franchise made in the past 5 years was trading away Marcus Peters. Because imagine Marcus Peters on this defense right now. That would be absolutely insane. But, you know, it is what it is for a team that is currently driven entirely by their offense. Who's ever leaving the hearts on this? Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Makes me feel good inside. All right, moving on. Next game, Bears. Jets. Bears offense figuring it out, but it's different. It's dinks and dunks down the field, screen passes. short slants, kind of these back end zone short crossing routes. They're a really interesting offense to watch because Mitchell Trubisky doesn't have the biggest arm in the world, but his mobility makes him a threat. And I know I'm going to have Usaid on the show on Wednesday, and I know he's going to kill me for all these takes because I don't like the way Mitchell Trubisky has played. Frankly, I think he got outplayed by Sam Darnold today. I think that no doubt Sam Darnold was a better quarterback, and Sam Darnold has no wide receivers. The Jets are so banged up right now. The Jets are another team where the season's lost, and I would still give a lot of credit, though, to Todd Bowles, who has kept this team competitive. I think he's going to get fired, but I think right now you stick with him to the end of the season because I think he's a great guy for this team to learn under, and then you bring in the offensive guy to take Darnold to the next step next year. And I think the Jets are an interesting team to watch in the next year and a half or so because I think they are probably a playmaker away on offense from being one of the more dangerous teams in the AFC East and maybe even giving the Patriots a run for their money since the Patriots are kind of starting to slope down a little bit. I would say that the Jets defense was mismanaged today though. Look no further than the Tariq Cohen touchdown run. They blitzed basically everyone and no one picked up a running back. That was a very interesting play to watch. I would say that Anthony Miller finally getting involved in the offense, a touchdown today. Taylor Gabriel back in it as a wide receiver. This offense is starting to pick it up. They shut down a bad offense without Khalil Mack. That's an encouraging sign for the Bears defense. I don't know. I still don't buy the Bears, but they got a good win today against kind of a hapless Jets team right now. All right, the Giants, the Redskins. Ooh, Adrian Peterson is still great. Get that through your heads. Get that through your heads. And if you don't like it, deal with it. Because Adrian Peterson is a top 10 running back in the NFL right now. He is catching passes out of the backfield. He is running the ball extremely well. He is blocking, picking up blitzes for Alex Smith. This Redskins offense is extremely interesting to watch because they have two dynamic running backs in Adrian Peterson and Chris Thompson. Alex Smith, yes, having a down year. I will give you that. A million times out of a million, I will give you the fact that Alex Smith has had a down year. But this Redskins team is legit, and I think they are going to run away with the NFC East, especially because they have the easiest schedule the rest of the way through the NFL. They have the lowest win percentages to go up against. And yes, I am high on Adrian Peterson because he is so good. Look at his stats this year. He is dominated. Look at some of his stats today, which I wrote down here. Pardon me. I actually didn't. That's bad prep work on my part as I pull up my cheat sheet on ESPN. I believe he had something like 149 yards and a touchdown today. That led the league this week. 149 yards and a touchdown is not average. It is balling. He is balling right now. I love Adrian Peterson. I love what the Redskins are doing. They're going to be a top 10 team in my upcoming power rankings this week. I love this Redskins team. I think they can go really far, and it's because of a defense. DJ Swearinger, two picks today. Josh Norman, playing like an all-pro. And then you look at Stroman today, who totally broke up a beautiful ball from Eli to Sterling Shepard. This team is so deep on every level of their defense. I love the Washington Redskins' chances going forward this season. They are a good, 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 good football team, as I pound the table and you hear it on my mic. Eli, don't let the stats fool you, was trash in this game. Threw two really killer picks and looked hapless. Why are you throwing the ball 47 times if you're the New York Giants, by the way. Give a ball to Saquon Barkley. Like, you should not be throwing with a hapless Eli Manning 47 times a game. That's asinine. Outside of that, that's what I got away from this game. Odell, you cannot trade this guy. He's your entire offense. 136 yards today, and most of Eli's targets. Like, if you trade Odell Beckham, like, I get it, he's a headache in the locker room, but if you trade this guy, you are literally, you have zero hope going forward. Like, you have to build around him. You dug your grave, now lay in it. He's a good player, he's a headache off the field, but you cannot trade Eli Manning. All right, Panthers, Ravens. And I have got a hot take here. The Panthers are the third best team in the NFC. I really do believe that. Because Cam Newton right now is playing at such an incredible clip. 21 of 29, 219, two touchdowns today. Running the ball 52 yards and a touchdown. He is playing like a top 10 quarterback right now. And when he does that, and this Panthers defense pass rush is elite, this team, like, the NFC is in two tiers right now at the top. It's the Saints, the Rams, everyone else. And in that everyone else, at the top of everyone else has to be the Carolina Panthers, in my opinion. I think that the offense took off extremely, just the offense looked so good today. Christian McCaffrey got it going. DJ Moore had two rushes on the ground for 39 yards. Oh, and guess what? He also had a baller day receiving the ball 90 yards through the air. Greg Olsen was back, had a touchdown. The Panthers are a good team. Watch out for the Panthers down the stretch. They could make some real noise in the NFC. I think they are one of these teams that is going to come on strong in the second half. And the other question for, and I will respect our one viewer on Periscope and say the team from Baltimore. But one question for the team from Baltimore is, when does Lamar Jackson see the field? Because today in the blowout, they put him on the field in the fourth quarter, 4 of 5, and guess what? One touchdown, 46 yards. What if Lamar Jackson has developed into something beneath Joe Flacco? This team's suddenly 4-4. They are right in the grit and grind of the AFC North, which is starting to separate itself. You cannot be a 4-loss team right now. It just makes me wonder if the team from Baltimore loses two more games in the next 4 weeks, maybe they make a switch. Maybe they make a switch up to Lamar Jackson. You know, Lamar Jackson. It'll be interesting to see if that happens. But the Panthers, again, a real team. A great team. I buy into them. The Seahawks, the Lions. The Seahawks are back, and everyone in the NFC should be scared. Let me tell you why. David Moore is a top wide receiver. You look at Chris Carson, who, shout out to Jonders. I give Jonders endless crap about this, but Chris Carson is playing like an elite running back right now. The O-line is no longer a problem. The O-line in Seattle is good. Breaking news. Russell Wilson, for the first time in his career, has an O-line that is not god-awful. Like, that is so amazing. And Russell Wilson, yes, I will say it again, is playing like an MVP candidate. People need to give him way more respect than they are. Today, he had another great game, 248 yards, three touchdowns. The reason his yardage isn't up there is because they have a steady run game, but he's throwing touchdowns. The Seahawks have the best red zone offense in the NFL right now. It is insane. This team's 4-3, and I'm buying it. I think the Seahawks are the surprise second half team that just shoots up and makes their way into that first or second wild card spot. And I think this team could challenge against the Rams. Not to win the division, but they have one more game, and I think I'm going to take the Seahawks in that game. I would say this. The Detroit Lions, look at them as a 3-4 team with a defense that improved on the run today, but with a quarterback in Matthew Stafford who has deceiving stats, because even though he had 310 yards and 2 touchdowns today, he played an awful game. Kenny Golladay completely disappeared from this offense. Marvin Jones Jr. was the only wide receiver to show up. This team is a week-to-week team, and I'm not sure that they're that much better with Matt Patricia at the helm than they were with, oh my God. Well, this just shows you how bad former, I know his name, Deadface guy, former Lions coach. I got to Google this. Let me tell you something right now. Here it is. Buddy Parker was not the last Lions coach. I need to figure this out. Apologies to the listeners. There is just constant confusion. Jim Caldwell. This shows you everything you need to know about Jim Caldwell, that I had to Google his name. This team is not better with Matt Patricia than they were with Jim Caldwell, and that's concerning for any Lions fans out there. Cincinnati, Tampa Bay, good game for Joe Mixon. Bengals scratch out of there with a win. I don't buy this Bengals team at much more, or my opinion of them hasn't changed at all since last week, since the Bucs are bad. Jameis Winston a bust. You got to ride Fitzmagic for the rest of the way. He came in and he dominated in this game. That's what I got for that one. I think Fitzmagic is the answer in Tampa for the rest of the way. The Colts, Marlon Mack, they have a rusher. Look out for the Colts in the AFC. They are going back to 500. And I just saw a comment here in here. You think Janoris Jenkins for Jameis Winston, a person from New York, while I readjust my camera here. I mean, that's an interesting trade. I think you lose that trade if you're a Giants fan, because Winston's not that much better than Eli, I don't think. But if you're a Bucs fan, that's a great trade. Janoris Jenkins, absolutely, I'd take that trade. I wonder if Winston does get dealt, just because I feel like they are kind of done with him there in Tampa. All right, so Packers, Rams, as we toss away our first sheet of notes here. Packers, Rams. Packers defense played great. Rams won gritty. That is such a great thing to hear, because this team didn't have to blow out a team or get in a track meet to win. They won a different way, and that makes me buy them that much more. Ty Montgomery royally screwed up the Packers' chances of winning with a last-second fumble. And finally, the London game. All I will say is Eagles back on track. Not sure if I'd buy them yet. Blake Bortles had a meh day. The Jaguars are a complete and utter tire fire right now. But then you look at Josh Rosen, who had his best game of his career, but they threw with him 40 times, which is an awful, awful, awful trade. Just not trade, but why would you throw with Josh Rosen 40 times? He's a rookie. But he came back, 2 touchdowns, 252 yards. It's a pretty good day for the rookie Rosen. CJ Beathard kind of disappeared back into the picture. All right, folks, that is it. As we toss away our last bit of game notes here.
by the way, I stole that from Dave Damashek. He used to do this thing on his Shaq Report or whatever, where he crumble up a little brown paper bag and toss it to the side. I always thought it was a cool look, so I just did that with my game notes. Shout out to you, Dave Damashek. Anyways, yeah, that's it for this week on the End Zone Podcast. This week 8 recap, we will be back most likely Tuesday to visit what should be an entertaining trade deadline, or maybe not. Maybe it will just end up being blah. All right, guys, thank you very much for joining us. You can follow us on Twitter at End Zone Podcast, and we will see you Tuesday. Follow us on Twitter at End Zone Pod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.